This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us at Tower 3 as we roll along this morning. Again, an NCAA tournament Friday. It's also St. Patrick's Day. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Now, thanks to Dan Scott, play-by-play voice of Furman in the last hour. Jerry Palm is our guest in hour one. And if you missed any of those, please go to podcastarena.com. And you can subscribe to this show as we podcast the show after it every single day. So if you miss anything, you can obviously and replay it. So we'd love to let you know about that as we continue along our coverage of the tournament and everything else going on. Edwin Diaz, what a sad story this is. So Edwin Diaz was pitching for Puerto Rico in the World Baseball Classic, and they had a celebratory moment on the field, and he injured his knee. All right, injured his knee. They had to take him out on a wheelchair. Okay, that's not good. And now he tore a patella tendon, and he's going to be out for the entire season. Yikes! This guy was trumpet man. This guy was the big closer for the Mets. This guy was going to be an integral part of the Mets in their pursuit of Steve Cohen's World Series championship.
I mean, didn't he just sign like a huge extension this past offseason?
They got Justin Verlander.
This won't be played at all this year, Tony.
This will not be played at all. The Mr. Met with the trumpet, Mrs. Met with the trumpet.
Special guest appearance of Timmy Trumpets.
Trumpet special guest star. They won't have him at all for this upcoming season. This is painful. But it brings up a natural debate, right? Should we be doing this at all? I still think the World Baseball Classic should have these players in it. I do. I understand the injury risk. But Edwin Diaz, he didn't get hurt because he threw a fastball and he heard a pop. Edwin Diaz got hurt because we celebrate too hard.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I mean, it's kind of funny because they beat the Dominican Republic. And the Dominican Republic, I think, is out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, I think they are. I think you're right.
And they had a murderer's row of baseball players. I mean, you know, all-stars, future Hall of Famers on their team. And I think they're out, and largely because Puerto Rico knocked them out. So, I mean, I can understand the celebration. It's just unfortunate. I mean, who was that? Was it Martin Gramatica?
Yeah, suffered an
torn ACL after celebrating a field goal.
Ted Ginn Jr. suffered an injury when he returned Ohio State's opening kickoff for a touchdown against Florida in the national championship game. Like, it's stop celebrating like this. Do we have to pile up on people?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing? Like, especially if you are a Major League Baseball player and you are going into the regular season. Hey, you want to pile on at the end of a World Series after a long, gruelish 162-game season in the playoffs and you are the champions? Fantastic.
Yep.
Dog pilot. Pile it on up. Great. But if you are Edwin Diaz and you're like, hey, as soon as I'm done with this, I got to go do this for the Mets. Don't you think you'd be extra, just a little careful? Just a little fist bump. There you go. I'm excited. Don't worry about it. No, I'll give you a hug. Don't worry. You don't have to jump on my back and drive me into the ground, right? Golly. And look, this World Baseball Classic is only going to make it if the professional baseball players are playing in, right? So somebody might say, well, do we even need it? All right, I understand. But I think it's fun. I think it's exciting. I think it gives these players something else that's in their professional lives that they can't get anywhere else. When we were talking about this with Bob Nightingale, you know, it only works, this extracurricular thing only works for the NBA. That's it, right? The NBA players can celebrate a NBA Finals. Yay, woo-hoo, playoffs, woo. And then they all can gather and they can go to the Summer Olympics, wherever the Summer Olympics are, right? Hockey tried to do it. Hockey tried to send the NHL. Well, we got all these professional players, hockey players. They're all over the world. They're all going to want to represent their country. So the NHL tried to do it. Let's shut down for 2 weeks. Let's everybody go to the Olympics. They stopped doing that.
I'm going to make one addendum because soccer can usually do this as well.
Soccer can do it?
And the reason why I'm saying that, because soccer season usually ends in May, and then if they have the World Cup over the summer. I'm noticing with a lot of the top teams, especially, you know, if they played for France or they played for Argentina, since they were in the World Cup final, a lot of the teams that they play professionally for are out of major tournaments or are struggling right now because the World Cup was in season. Just like you're talking about, like with baseball coming up, it's like this is a terrible time for this tournament.
Yeah, and it's really the only time, to be honest with you, for this tournament.
But I guess
what if you said no? We're going to do it in January in dome stadiums.
Or, November, like, December.
You can do it then. Why are we doing it in the beginning of March?
Because here's the thing.
Beginning of March.
Baseball doesn't have to – you don't have to play it on a Sunday or a Saturday in November or December.
Right.
Right? You could do it midweek when nothing is going on inside of a dome.
Yeah.
Or maybe you choose to do it in, you know, a warm location like Florida, where, you know, you can probably get away with cool weather. And let's face it, I think all the Japan, we said this yesterday, all the Japan's baseball games, I think, are in domes.
Yeah.
I've never seen one outside.
Do guys want to do it in December and January? Like, after the baseball season, they go like, no, listen, man.
Maybe once every 3 years? I mean,
yeah, I think once every 3 years. It's not like NBA players disappear off to the Summer Olympics every year. You're right.
No, I mean, it's
we ask them to do it once every 4 years.
There's got to be pride in your country. I mean, I'll speak on soccer again. Internationally, they do it every 2 years. You have the World Cup every 4 years, and then you have your continent tournament, basically. Yeah. Like Europe has their own tournament. South America has their own tournament. You go and do it for that tournament. But those are every 4 years as well. So every 2 years, you're representing your national team.
Yeah.
I think they would do it. And that's usually – it's right after the season.
That's great.
Like you figure the season ends, what, beginning of November, roughly?
Right.
You know, every once in a while we get that November 1st game.
Yeah, right. I would say that. So, yeah, about right.
So, you know, you start training camp, you know, for some teams, some players, they could probably report earlier. Then you just wait for the World Series winners. Maybe the World Series winners opt out. But you don't know. Maybe some of them are like, you know what? Pride. I'm country pride.
Again, once every couple of years. It's not like I do it all the time.
But, yeah, this is... leading right up to spring break. It's so rough.
The problem is that we're all a buzz about, you know, some people are like, the World Baseball Classic is awesome. And, you know, the players playing it and it's great. And it stinks that this happened to Edwin Diaz. But in the end, it's insane to say that the professional athletes shouldn't be allowed to play in this because it's, you know, they could get hurt. They could lose the season. That's fine today because there's still a lot of, yeah, woo, this is great. But that same person, ask him if he feels that same way in July if he's a Mets fan, right? If he's like, yeah, it would be nice to have Edwin Diaz come out. Well, why? Yeah, the World Baseball Classic. You got to be kidding. But again, I go back to this was a fluke. This wasn't a guy that was asked to pitch 100 miles an hour in early mid-March when he should be warming up. Like he got to report early. He got to get himself into shape. He got to get himself into proper training for this. He didn't get hurt in a game where the game got him hurt. He got hurt because they celebrated too hard and it was a fluke injury. Would you say the same thing if he fell downstairs? Like if he fell downstairs at the World Baseball Classic, would you say no professional athlete should be at the World Baseball Classic? Because that's basically what this is. I mean, I'm sorry to compare it like that. Again, if you're pitching and you hear your pop in your elbow and you need Tommy John surgery, we'd go, oh, all right, maybe this is a little too close. Maybe they need a little bit more workout. I don't know. But if you're just celebrating and you suffer an injury, that to me is the same thing that could happen in a car accident, falling down the stairs, slipping on a puddle. I mean, anywhere.
No, right? Remember, I mean, one of the things we always talked about was weird spring training injuries.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That happens every single year. And I just had to look up. I found a list of some fun ones. Like Gio Gonzalez was down for the count because he got bit by a scorpion.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Doug Melvin.
Doug Melvin got bit by a scorpion?
Got bit by a scorpion.
Nice. God, that's going to be awful.
Elvis Andrus. Remember him? He was sidelined.
Elvis, yeah.
He was sidelined by a tattoo.
Oh, he had a tattoo and they got infected or something?
Yeah. Brian Cashman. Who cares about him?
Yeah, Brian, yeah. He's just a guest guy.
We hear him all the time. We hear it all the time about these weird injuries. Like you know, they try to pass it off like, oh, yeah, I was pitching and I broke my hand somehow. Yeah. And then we come to find out, it's like, no, you were riding your motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. I remember telling you that story about Clint Barmas of the Rockies. He had that dislocated shoulder.
Yep.
And he said, oh, I fell on the stairs. I was carrying some deer meat that I got at Todd Helton's ranch. We went to Todd Helton's ranch and we went hunting, and I had some deer meat, and I was climbing up the stairs, and I fell. And somebody went, really? You did? And then later on, it was found out him and Helton were riding ATVs, and they were doing jumps and stuff like that on his ranch out in Colorado. And because these guys have things in their contract that says you can't do that. Like, you can't go parasailing or things like that. And they go, I got to keep it from the bosses. I can't tell the bosses I was doing wheelies on ATVs on a ranch out in the middle of Colorado. Like, things like that. So, yeah, but this injury, again, it wasn't baseball related. It was just in a celebration of a game. So I think slow down on the all hell is breaking loose because all of our stars aren't going to be around in 2023 because they're playing in the World Baseball Classic. And that's kind of it's a little ridiculous. It's like, yeah, he shouldn't have gotten hurt. He should be healthy today. He should have got himself out of any pile or whatever it was. I'd celebrate too, but I'd also be cautious of the celebration to make sure I wasn't tearing these guys, man. I'm out of shape and I don't suffer these injuries doing basic things. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Again, looking at the NCAA tournament, NFL news, and everything else on a beautiful St. Patrick's Day.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. Hope you wear your green. So I like St. Patrick's Day. I just don't do anything with St. Patrick's Day. I'm not Irish, so I don't have a sense of Irish
pride. I have a little bit
of
Irish in me, but I don't have pride in it.
But, you know. But my wife and daughter, I told them, I said, what are you guys doing for St. Patrick's Day? I don't know. Gonna wear green? Yeah. What's the matter? I would have bought everything in the Walmart St. Patrick's Day decoration thing. Like, yeah,
no one does, though.
No one does.
I mean, do they even have stuff up, or they just skip right to Easter?
You can get like green. There's like a little box. We went there on Saturday to pick up some food, and there was like a little kiosk. It's the best way I could describe it, right? You're right. The shelves are loaded with Easter stuff, but then there was like this little, you can get like a little green hat.
Like one tiny little shamrock in the corner.
Right. Like, yeah, for those of you who want to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, dive on in. A year ago was UMBC over Virginia, and it was also St. Peter's over Kentucky. So happy anniversary to those schools. If you're UMBC, I'd roll it out every year.
We didn't have 16 and 1. That wasn't the same year. That was
No.
UMBC, there was different
2018
years.
Was the, so 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Was UMBC, and then last year was St. Peter's.
So does that mean we'll get something this year?
That we could. That'll be kind of cool. That'll be kind of neat if we did. Imagine if St. Patrick's Day was the day of upsets. It was the day of the underdog. Right? So I asked this question 5 years ago, and I saw it kind of pop up on one of my memories, and I said, oh, yeah, Chaminade or UMBC, which is the greatest upset in college basketball? And I thought about that, and I was like, you know, obviously you can make a real strong case for both. But I started going, man, what is the best upset? Because UMBC, and again, this is not to take anything away from any of the others that attempted to do this, but didn't you feel like a 16 was going to beat a 1 at some point, that we were getting closer and closer?
Yeah.
To that moment.
Yeah,
where,
especially when you have like these smaller schools or the smaller conference schools have more seniors.
Yeah.
And there's just something, I mean, yes, you know, the 18-year-old is definitely, that 18-year-old playing for a blue blood program is definitely more talented. But sometimes when you have like, you know, five 18-year-olds going against five 22-year-olds, I might lean towards the older kids.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you just felt like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to see it, but I got a feeling it's coming soon. It just feels like it's getting closer
and closer.
And you
know what? I mean, closer
and closer.
It might be happening again. You were talking about it earlier, how 15 over 2 is becoming much more commonplace.
Exactly. Exactly. And but if you go back into the history when Chaminade beat number 1 Virginia, there's a couple of things about that game that are kind of lost to history, right? And Chaminade, this little school in Hawaii, and it was a stopover game for Virginia. They went to Japan. Virginia, with number 1 team in the country, had Ralph Sampson. They went to Japan, and on the way back, they said, we'll stop in Chaminade. We'll play Chaminade. But there's a couple of things about that game. Was Ralph Sampson had a case of food poisoning. He had a stomach bug, so he wasn't really feeling all that well. But Chaminade, an amazing coincidence, Chaminade had a player that had played against Ralph Sampson in high school. So he kind of knew him. He kind of knew his tendencies. And if you couple that with Sampson being under the weather, Virginia should have still annihilated them, right? We're not even talking like home court advantage. Like most people who went to the game went to see Sampson in Virginia, right? It was one of those. Like, you know, I know you love us little Chaminade swords, but here comes Virginia. Don't you want to see them? But I think there's two things about each one of those situations in college hoops. Was one, I think there's a legend that sort of grows over time, and UMBC doesn't have that because UMBC people watched it and they saw it with their own eyes. Jim Nance was calling it. It was on national TV. It was absorbed by everybody that day, that moment, that minute. It was the big breaking story of the tournament if you were watching another game. But Chaminade and Virginia were playing in a night game in Hawaii when most of America was sound asleep. And they woke up to this news in a pre-internet era, a pre-ESPN on all the time with talking head shows era. So newspaper editors didn't print it in the next day's paper. It was kind of something you'd have to hear about. And then even then, in the initial stages of the AP reporting that number 1 Virginia lost to Chaminade in the middle of the night, editors didn't want to print it. They didn't want to post it. They thought it was incorrect. It was so outlandish of a claim that people went, no. When the correction comes, we'll print the correction. Because it wasn't on TV. People didn't absorb it, didn't see it with their own eyes, and they didn't believe it. It's very similar to Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson, right? Where how did most of you hear Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson? You heard about it, right? Somebody reported it, or it was on ESPN, might have reported it, and a buddy might have told you. That's how I found out. Buddies told me, and I didn't believe it. So there is sort of this legendary added bonus to the Chaminade upset of Virginia, where you have a disbelieving media, this game that's not, didn't even, people didn't even know was being played, a sick Ralph Sampson going up against a familiar opponent that he had early in his life, a more experienced team in Chaminade that just kept hitting shots. Then you fast forward and you compare that to UMBC. And what does UMBC have? Well, UMBC has a win against the number 1 seeded Virginia run by Tony Bennett, and an incredible slow tempo, defensive oriented team that it's hard to get into your own rhythm. Whatever rhythm you want to play, Virginia would bog you down, just strap you, you know, like cobwebs in from spiders, just trapped. You couldn't really do anything. It was suffocating. But they had a couple of things going in their way, which was a feeling like this was going to happen soon, a vulnerability that Virginia had in that if you can change it up a little bit and kind of beat that defense a little bit, you could win the game because they didn't have any other ways of playing. And the fact that there was no mystery behind it, right?
Yep.
That's the thing. If you watched it, you watched it play out. If you didn't watch that game, they cut to that game. But I don't know anybody that – I've never met anybody that said they were at the Chaminade-Virginia game. Like, everywhere I've gone, everybody I've ever talked to – Everybody, like, that was in 1982. I don't know anybody who was like, oh, no, no, I was living in Hawaii, and I went to Chaminade, and I went to that game, and I saw it. That's the only way. The only people who saw it were people who saw it live.
Well, I found a short list
of
the greatest upsets, because I guess one happened this season. And so they actually had Virginia losing to Chaminade as number two.
What's the number one?
Well, I'll give you number three, because it was only the top three. And they split it up. You know, they had UMBC over Virginia as the greatest upset in tournament history.
Tournament, yeah.
So, but number three on their list, and I vaguely remember this, was Stephen F. Austin defeating Duke in 2019.
I remember that.
Which I think what the more impressive one was that Duke had lost at home in 20 seasons.
Yeah.
And Stephen F. Austin beat them at home. But the number one, which happened this season, was Eastern Illinois over Iowa. Now, I don't know if this article is written in the way of the last thing I saw was the best thing I saw. Because I think that's true. Because, I mean, Eastern Illinois beat Iowa 92-83.
And they did it this year, and that's the greatest regular season upset in the history of college basketball?
That's what they're saying.
What's the rationale behind that?
That it was the... They had the biggest over. Iowa's 30-point favorites.
Oh, okay. So were they doing it by point spread?
They're using math, Tony.
Yeah, because
you were naming this. This is why I brought it up, because you were naming like the only people who saw Virginia lose to Chaminade were people who were in attendance.
Were in attendance, yeah.
One of those people was Michael Wilbon.
Michael Wilbon was there?
Apparently, or. Claims.
Okay, I've met Michael Wilbon, so now I have to amend that.
Yeah.
I met him at the 2004 NCAA tournament in Denver.
In an article. So now, he wrote this article in 1982.
Oh, heck yeah. You know
for
why?
The Washington Post.
Shoot, I know. Exactly. I kept thinking, why would Michael Wilbon there? And I kind of forgot he was a writer, a beat writer at the Washington Post covering the Virginia Capitol. Of course
then.
He was. He would have gone on the trip to Japan. Of course he did. Of course he did. He absolutely would have gone. That was the number one team in the country with the best player in the country. Of course the Washington Post would have sent him to Japan to cover every single step Ralph Sampson and the Cavaliers made. Of course. Yeah.
No, all makes sense.
Now it makes sense. Boy, it comes together on this show.
That was definitely a case of the last thing I saw was the best thing I saw.
That has to be. That has to be.
I would put Stephen F. Austin over Duke over Eastern Illinois.
I would too. Iowa. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this band, who's this?
Snow Patrol.
Are they Irish?
Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland, outstanding. Yeah, keeping the Irish theme going.
Some members of the band are from Northern Ireland, the others are from Scotland.
Okay, very good. Happy St. Patrick's Day. You know what? I did a little digging. I looked up the Eastern Illinois Iowa game because maybe I'm hanging on to something too long. Maybe I'm hanging on to that Chaminade story too long. Maybe I am. Eastern Illinois went, they were a 30-point, as you mentioned, a 30-point underdog in this game in Iowa City against the Hawkeyes. They shot 60% from the floor, 40% from the three-point line. The game was tight, about 12 minutes to go in the second half. Iowa and Eastern Illinois were tied, and then Eastern Illinois blew the doors off of the Hawkeyes after that, and they won by 9 points. So they used red-hot shooting, but they also went 9-22 this past season, so maybe there was something to that. But I don't think I don't remember making a bunch of big noise. And oh, by the way, Iowa wasn't the number one team in the country.
With a future Hall of Famer.
With a future Hall of Famer.
And they've already been bounced out of the tournament.
Right.
By Auburn yesterday.
That's right. So
I'm with you. I mean, like on paper or maybe at that time, oh my God, huge upset. But now you look back on it, it's like, well, maybe they were just maybe Iowa's false advertising.
Yeah, and by the way, if Tony Bennett and the Virginia team, I know different players and whatnot, if next year they lose to Merrimack, because I'll be pulling for Merrimack next year.
Yeah, you will.
If they lose to Merrimack next year, I'm going to go, hey, UMBC, well done, but it's so easy, everybody's doing it. This is the third time that Virginia has been knocked out of the first round of the NCAA tournament since they lost to UMBC. You know what the problem is by standing on a soapbox and screaming about this? Is that you got to concede that there's a national championship that's in the middle of that mess. You know, it's not like you go, well, he made a Sweet 16 run the next year. No, he won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? He won the whole thing. So he lost to UMBC in 2018. The next year in 2019, he won the national championship. Then in 2020, there was no tournament. 2021, he lost to Iowa. No, I'm sorry, not Iowa. Ohio, the Bobcats. And they didn't make the tournament last year. I might have that reversed, actually. It might have been they didn't make the tournament in 2021, lost to Ohio last year. But nevertheless, that's UMBC, that's Ohio, and now it is Furman. These three schools now have knocked Tony Bennett and the Virginia Cavaliers out of the tournament in the first game, right off the bat. Imagine if you're a Virginia fan and you got that national title and you hang on to that national title, but you're all four seed, blah, 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 right? Whatever, and you're out. Number one seed, out. Right? We praise Tony Bennett winning the national title in 2019. We said, yeah, look, so that's a great accomplishment.
Let's see. Under Tony Bennett, I mean, he has a Sweet 16. He has a second round, but like from 18, first round loss. That was to UMBC. Then
right.
Then champions. Then cancel. Then lost in the first round. Then NIT. And then lost in the first round again.
So they lost in 2021. They lost to Ohio. In
yeah.
2022, they didn't make the tournament.
Nope.
And then they lost. That's, I'm sorry, that's crappy. That's,
that
you
is.
Know, that's really bad.
I mean,
national
yeah.
championship or no national championship, that's pretty awful.
I mean,
that's an awful 5-year run.
He's made the Sweet 16 1-2 twice prior to losing to UMBC.
Right.
And one Elite Eight appearance. That was in 16.
So what he had was, before the UMBC loss, what he had was a very competitive tournament team, right? So, you know, go to the Sweet 16, go to the
Elite
Eight.
I mean, most of the time they are number one seed
yeah.
under him.
Yeah. So you can go as a fan, prior to the UMBC loss, you can go, yeah, you know what, we hold our own. We get to this tournament, we go to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, whatever. Then you lose to UMBC, ouch. Then you win a national title. At that point, there's no reason to believe that the program is off the rails a bit, because you could just go, you know what, fluky thing. Yeah, what are you going to do? We got a championship out of it. They were motivated. They came back the next year, and they won the whole thing. We got a banner. We got a trophy. We're national champs. We had that celebration. I bought the commemorative issue from Sports Illustrated. Woohoo! I got the T-shirt, got the hat. Yay. After that, out, not in, out.
Well, in the last two times.
Basically, in three years, there was no tournament, one game, no games, one game.
Yeah, and the last two times they've been a number four seed, they've lost.
Yeah, so golly, that's awful. That is absolutely awful. Tony Bennett, who came to Virginia from Washington State.
Now, they did make the quarterfinals in the NIT.
Yeah.
But they lost to St. Bonaventure.
And you know what, Ron? If a tree falls in a forest and nobody's around to hear it, yeah. It
doesn't. Oh, you mean you don't remember who won the NIT last year? Come on.
Who tweeted me who won the NIT last year? Somebody, one of you guys.
I'm looking it up right now.
One of you guys tweeted us the winner of the NIT
I know
last
it.
Year. I'm following through on the tweets. Somebody, I think it was Robert. Robert tweeted, Xavier won the NIT
Xavier
last year.
Won the NIT.
Congratulations, Robert. The Musketeers. Well
beating
done.
Up Texas A&M.
Good, good. South Carolina won the NIT in back-to-back years in the early.
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
Man, that's an accomplishment.
I know. I was so proud of it. I was so proud of it. I was telling everybody, and everybody was like, did they? I can't remember. Meanwhile, my wife's school, Florida, they won back-to-back national championships under Billy Donovan. And I had an NIT, two back-to-back NIT crowns to hang on my, oh, God. It's so tough being a Gamecock fan, man. It's so tough. Oh, celebrating mediocrity since 1896. It's awful. But I love them. I absolutely love them. So it was so funny. And one of my Facebook memories was on this date, and I pointed out that South Carolina in 2017 actually won a tournament game. I hadn't seen them win a tournament game in my lifetime until they went to the Final Four. So on their run to the Final Four, they won their opening game, and it was against Marquette. They beat Marquette, then they beat Duke, then they beat Baylor, then they beat Florida and lost to Gonzaga. But when they beat Marquette, I was like, woohoo, first win in the tournament. Oh, my God, that's so great. Oh, I finally saw them win. Little I know they were going to win.
Can I give you a little pride in your school?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're one of two teams to have ever won back-to-back NIT titles.
Well, hello, yes.
Where's that banner?
Who's the other one?
That would be St. John's in the early 40s.
See? And you know what? We all know that anything in the sports in the 40s doesn't count anymore.
St. John's, they had beaten Toledo, and then following year they beat DePaul.
Wow.
Those basketball powerhouses.
I don't even remember who South Carolina beat in the finals.
South Carolina, the first year they beat St. Joseph's.
Okay.
And then the following year they beat Michigan.
Oh, that was very good.
Yeah, I mean, that
sounds... What the hell was Michigan doing in the NIT?
Yeah, it was an offseason for them, I guess.
Like, South Carolina, I get. Michigan, what was Michigan doing in the NIT? Good Lord.
I'm looking up who's... I don't think they had anybody on their team.
Must not have been. It was a down year. I think it was John Beilein was the coach.
No, Tommy Amaker.
Oh, Tommy Amaker was the coach of Michigan,
yeah,
at the time? Okay.
Yeah, I can't. They don't even list the roster for this team.
I got basically.
That's how bad this team was. There's no roster. There's no names for them.
I forgot Tommy Amaker was the head coach there.
Yeah, so did Michigan.
At least they got an NIT finals appearance. These tournaments, man, why do people do them? These CBI, the basketball tournament, like, ugh. It's not like bowl games. It's like in football, there's bowl games that don't matter to the national championship picture, but at least there's a bowl game going on, right? You just go, all right, we'll get to go to a bowl game. We'll get to go to Orlando and do some fun stuff and play a football game. But how are you getting motivated for the CBI?
Yeah.
Like, everybody gave Herbert Davis a hard time because he was going to turn down an NIT. I would do it. I'd do it too. If I was that disappointed in my season, I'm sorry. I know the theory because I've heard coaches say this all the time. It's like when coaches in football get a bowl game and they go, hey, what's it like to play in the PapaJohns.com bowl? Or what is it like to play in the Celebration Bowl or whatever it is? And coaches go, hey, we don't care. We don't care what bowl it is. This gives us an extra month of practice.
Bowl.
Yeah. It's an extra month of practice. We get to work with our guys for an extra month. It's the same thing with college basketball. Your season could be over at the end of your conference tournament, and if there's an NIT bid or a CBI bid, you get extra work with your team. And every coach wants that. But Herbert Davis was so frustrated and aggravated with his season, and every player was too, that he was like, why bother? Like, why are we bothering? Nobody wants to do this. We not only need a reset button, we need a start over button.
His eyes, they closed, and his last breath spoke. He had seen all to be seen. A life once full, now an empty vase, with the blossoms on his head.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's Wake Up Call on a St. Patrick's Day. Hope you've enjoyed our Irish music today for St. Patrick's Day. So, there was one other song. Do you remember Gangs of New York?
Yes.
There's a song called there's a song called My Dear Annie that gets played in that song. That's an Irish song too. So we've had a lot of good ones. Very cool. You told me that you stumbled upon a list of best actors, athletes who are actors.
Yeah, the Four Letter put a list out on Oscar night.
Oh, they did?
And they said, you know, which performance gets your vote? And it was the best acting performance by an athlete. And I personally feel like they missed the mark on a whole bunch of really good actors.
Let me ask you this question.
Good athletes who are actors.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Based on the list, was it athletes who took a shot at acting, like in a guest star appearance, or was it actors? Athletes who changed careers and became actors and then were known as actors going forward.
Here's the issue that I have with that. Because, yes, all of these are athletes. And there's a list of nine. And I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them are basketball players.
Okay. Okay.
So they are actors, or they are athletes who took a shot. Because one of them is a bona fide actor now.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
And so your choices were Ray Allen, and he got game.
All right.
Let's all the basketball players. Ray Allen, Anthony Edwards, Kevin Garnett in Uncut Gems, which I liked his performance.
He was really good in Uncut Gems. He was really good.
Michael Jordan, Space Jam.
Yeah, but he played Michael Jordan.
Yeah. LeBron James, Lisa Leslie, and Uncle Drew. So those are your basketball players. Then you have Ronda Rousey.
Okay, what was she in?
Furious 7.
Furious 7. Okay.
Serena Williams was in Glass Onion. Which is like
a
cameo role.
She played Serena Williams.
Yeah. But see, here's where I think, you know, if you're going to make a true legit actors, you know, athletes who are only athletes who just did a starring role, you can't have Dave Bautista in this.
Right.
Dave Bautista is a wrestler.
Right.
Who now, you know, is, you know, starring in a bunch of action movies.
He
was in Glass Onion.
You can't have The Rock, too, right?
Right. I mean, that's what, if you have Dave Bautista, then you open up this door of having The Rock.
And don't you have to learn some acting? Like, in wrestling, you have to learn to art.
There are already actors.
Yeah.
But see, I think if you're going to make a true athlete list of athletes who were actors, you know, you need to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah,
that's what brought this up, because Kareem, there was a commercial with Kareem on it. But then, you know, let's really look at the athletes who were athletes who play professionally that are really good actors. And the first one that came to mind was Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers, yes. Yeah, Carl Weathers. I saw him in The Mandalorian, and I'm like, man, this guy's been around a long time.
He has.
Long time.
You know, one of the TVs in here is on, showing an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Terry Crews.
Terry Crews, that's right.
He was a member of the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
So I don't know. I was looking at this. I'm like, you know, first of all, you didn't even run the whole gamut. I mean, you could have had Michael Irvin be on this list because he was in The Longest Yard, but maybe Michael Irvin's not allowed to be talked about.
What about
now.
The guys who, like Fred Dreyer?
Fred Dreyer.
So he played for the Rams.
Yes.
And when you live in Los Angeles, when you're an athlete in Los Angeles, like, you know, you get into the inner circle of people in Hollywood where they started going, hey, you know what? You'd be good in this. You'd be good in that. Like, you got a little bit more access than, let's say, somebody who's playing for the Dolphins. And you can get an agent. You can go to acting class. You can get with a producer. They might like you in certain things. Fred Dreyer became Hunter. He was a Hunter in TV. Ed Marinaro played in the NFL for a number of years in the 70s. He was on Hill Street Blues.
So here's just a short list of guys you've heard of that you don't remember were actually athletes too, right?
Right.
That I'm going through this list. One of them's Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds. Played football at Florida State.
Yeah.
You know who his coach was real quick?
No.
Lee Corso.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know.
How about Bernie Casey?
Bernie Casey.
I don't know what team he played for, but he was head of Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Oh, no kidding.
In Revenge of the Nerds.
Okay.
And he was in a bunch of little things.
Right.
I mean, some big things. Alex Karras.
Alex Karras was he was in Webster, and he was a nose tackle for the Detroit Lions.
Maybe I should skip over the juice. Let's see. But we have to mention him. He was in a lot of movies.
Sure he was. O.J. Simpson, sure he was. What about Dick Butkus?
Dick Butkus?
Dick Butkus was obviously a menace on the Monsters of the Midway, right, the Bears?
Yeah.
And then he was in, not only was he was in a number of different things, but he was in My Two Dads, that sitcom with
That's
Paul
right.
Reiser.
God,
remember that?
Yeah.
He played the bar owner or the cafe owner in My Two Dads. He was on... Shoot, in the 80s, there was like two helicopter movies. There was TV shows. There was Blue Thunder and Airwolf. He was on one of those.
Was he on one of those?
He was on one of those helicopter dramas. It was on like in the 80s, those cheesy 80s dramas. But he was in that. He was in a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Dick Butkus.
So, I mean, that's... I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, the list was skewed a certain way. Then, yeah, Serena Williams, I don't think she's ever played anything other than Serena. Because she was also, she played herself in that movie Pixels.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you play yourself, like that doesn't count.
You're automatically disqualified.
Yeah, because they're saying just be you and the other actors will just respond to you. Here, just recite this line, but be you reciting this line.
But if I had to go off that list, I think I might lean towards Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett was outstanding.
Ronda Rousey in Fury 7 basically played herself.
Because here's the difference. Okay, because Kevin Garnett played Kevin Garnett. So to be fair, if I'm going to criticize Serena Williams, Ronda Rousey played herself?
Well, essentially played herself.
Okay, essentially played herself. Okay, so to be fair, Kevin Garnett played Kevin Garnett, right? But he was an important part of the movie in that he was playing Kevin Garnett, but he had a character he had to play as Kevin Garnett. Like he went in and he was relating to Adam Sandler and he wanted this piece and then he didn't give it back and they had to go get it. Like there was a lot of that angle to Kevin Garnett than just showing up as Kevin Garnett and reciting a few lines. He was really good in that movie. What about the young man who was in the other basketball movie Adam Sandler was just in? The name escapes me, even though I should know it because I just watched it
half a month ago. Juwan Hernan Gomez or something
Hernan
like that?
Gomez,
Hernan
yeah.
Gomez?
Yeah. What is that movie? Good Lord. He plays the scout for this. Hustle.
Hustle.
Okay, now that guy was great. Because he played an entirely different character. He
Adam
wasn't playing himself.
Adam Sandler should have been nominated.
Huh?
Adam Sandler should have been nominated.
He was. Adam Sandler was really good. That guy, that kid was really good. He played an entirely different. He wasn't playing himself. He was playing a different kind of basketball player, a troubled basketball player, learning the ropes, getting into the NBA, not adjusting as quickly, had to be guided, had some trouble, you know, dealing with all that. Yeah, no. That guy did a really good job. So, yeah. Man, some of these guys are just so talented at things.
Some people say
I have none.
Some people say LeBron James, and they are showing pictures of him flopping.
Right, that's a good one. No, that's a really good one. that's great.
What about Dan Marino?
What about Dan Marino? That's right. How about Dan Marino?
Ace Ventura.
How about Phil Mickelson in Tin Cup when he was on the screen for 2 seconds? Betting
right.
With Gary McCord, remember that?
Well, what about Lee Trevino?
Lee Trevino,
in,
yeah.
Not Waterboy, Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
Just always shaking his head and then go, Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
That's
wonder
right.
How many takes that took him.
I must have, yeah. Hey, Lee, we're going to do it about 50, 60 times. Just say it in different ways. Thanks. We'll use the best one. That's great. I like the guys who became actors who you had to be reminded, you have to remind people that they once played in the NFL or they were a Major League Baseball player or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of good ones, you know?
I mean, like Carl Weathers. I mean,
yeah.
You would forget that he played professional. Did he play for the Raiders?
I think so.
I think he played for the Raiders,
You might be right. But I remember Alex Karras because Webster was on TV when I was a little kid, like a little kid. And
yeah.
I remember like my father telling me that Alex Karras was a football player. And I didn't.
Lions, right?
Yeah, Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. You know, I was like eight. You know what I mean? But then later, getting Sports Illustrated, somehow, some way, there was like a long article about something, and there was a picture of Alex Karras as a Lion.
See, we should come up with our own list.
My God.
I might throw John Matuszak in the list.
Yeah, he was
Sloth.
Sloth, yeah.
In the
right?
Goonies.
Yeah, in Goonies, yeah.
I mean, that was an acting
wasn't
stretch.
Wasn't he Mungo in Blazing Saddles?
Was he?
Yeah, I think he was in Blazing Saddles, too. So, look at us, coming up with names of athletes
yeah.
who are great actors.
God, ESPN, get that list out of here.
That's right.
Putting
that's
Michael
right.
Jordan down. Hey, what did he ever do?
No doubt about it.
Lisa Leslie, come on. You're just trying to shove the WNBA down our throats.
That's, you certainly are. Hey, we'll be back Monday. We'll have our Sweet 16 all finalized after this weekend. We'll go over that, plus whatever news is happening around the NFL. The Lombardi Line is coming up next, so keep it right here at Sports Map Radio. Glad you're with us. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Enjoy all the basketball games today and the next two.